If your heart is right, it's going to be okay. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Joel. We're in the midst of a rather long Old Testament survey. What I'm trying to do is to give you some handles whereby you can read the Old Testament and enjoy it. By the way, we're offering these booklets, and I think two of three have been finished, which are little mini commentaries of the Old Testament taken from my teaching in this Old Testament survey. And if you'd like those, ask us. We'll send them to you free, or as long as supplies last. And if we have enough, we'll send them out to you. I think it'll be helpful to you as you read the Old Testament. It is my concern that Christians realize that the same God who spoke in the Old Testament is the same God who spoke in the New Testament, and he hasn't changed his mind. He isn't somebody who says, well, I know what I told you, but I wish you'd listen now, because I've grown up a bit, and I know a little bit more, and I'm a little bit older, so listen to what I'm telling you now, because this is true. That's not God. God is immutable. He doesn't change. Well, at any rate, we're in the book of Joel, and having given you some handles whereby you can understand this book, I'm sort of your tour director going through some of my favorite passages in the book of Joel. Look at the second chapter of Joel and the 13th verses, where God says, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." Even with Joel's concern, and we talked about this, with institutional religion, he knows that a proper heart is far more important than a proper hymn. He knows that a proper heart is far more important than being religiously correct. He knows that a proper heart is far more important than proper worship. If your heart's right, then everything else will be all right. You know, have you ever noticed that there are some people that have a cold, mean heart and are obedient in everything? Boy, I have. I mean, there's some people that are so much more obedient than I am, more holy than I am, more sanctified than I am, and are mean as snakes. No, I'm not going there, but I just thought of some names that I could name, but it's true, and you know it. And have you ever run into somebody who's just doing it all wrong? I mean, they really try, but they just can't get it together. But in their heart, they want to please God more than anything in the world. Which of those two do you think that God really affirms? Let me tell you, the person who's doing it wrong with a right heart. I've said this 1,000 times on this broadcast. But I want you to know that it's true. I do it wrong some, but you never met anybody who wants in his heart to please God more than I do. I go to him each morning and I say, "Lord, I really want to do it right, and I didn't do it right." And he tells me he loves me because of my heart, not because of my actions. If you have your Bible, and you'll never find this unless you're a Baptist, turn over to 1 Samuel 16:7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" You know how your heart gets fixed? You get loved. And when you get loved by God, your heart gets right. And everything else begins to work out, if that's right. Somebody's put it this way: it is safe to promise the pure in heart that they will see God. They're the only ones who want to see God. Do a spiritual heart check on you. I often ask people, listen, let me tell you something. If God told you to do something, even if you couldn't do it, even if you made a mess of it, would you do everything you could to do it? People say, yeah. And I say, well, your heart's all right. And I say to people, do you want to please God? And they say, yeah. And I say, are you? And they say, no. I say, you're going to be all right. Because it starts in the heart. It's the seat of everything. Ask God to deal with your heart. A lot of people fake it on the outside, and their hearts are mean and narrow and bad. And a lot of people simply can't fake it on the outside, and their hearts are right. And when that's right, it's gonna be okay. You think about that. Amen. Well, we take some time at the end of the broadcast on Wednesday to answer some questions. My pastor, Pastor Pete Alwinson, will be on Friday, and we'll answer some questions. Then just a couple of things I want to remind you about before we turn to some of these questions. First, we have a website. You ought to check it out. It's dynamite. It's www.keylife.org. Now, if you get www.keylife.com, you're going to get a pornographic site. So, can you believe that? Can you believe that? So make sure you do org at the end, and it's a dynamite site. A lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy, and faithfulness to Christ is your crowning achievement. Secondly, be sure and include the call letters of this station whenever you write or call. And thirdly, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but for you guys living in Canada, we've just been approved by the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. And that means that we're okay, that you can trust us to be honest. Let me see. Oh, yeah. And if you're listening from jail or prison, we have a wonderful, magnificent Bible Institute program for you. And if you'll give us a call or drop us a note, if you're in jail or prison, we'll get the application to you. It's free, and you're absolutely going to love it. Our number's 1-800-KEY-LIFE. By the way, don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number to ask questions. You can make a contribution, get the magazine free, get the tapes free, get the booklets free, but you got to write your question out. Or you can write, and this is for those of you in prison and jail who want this Bible study program, Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. All right, let's get to some of these questions. This is from New Hampshire, and I mentioned it last week and said I would say more about it. I don't know what I was thinking. One ought to say very little about this because there's nothing you can say that won't get you into trouble when you talk about this subject. We used to do a talk show whenever we talked about worship. We got more calls than any other thing that we talked. I mean, more than we got when we talked about sex. I want you to know people get upset about worship. At any rate, the writer in New Hampshire said, it's from Maryland, I'm sorry. What does the Bible teach about the way we should worship in the church? A lot of people in the worship wars say there is a regulative principle. You must not use a hymn that's older than the 17th century. You must be very serious. And this hand-raising, hand-clapping stuff is from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. Other people say you worship God by clapping your hands and dancing and talking about me, 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 me. Let me tell you what worship is. Worship is worthiness ascribed to the God of the universe. And I want you to know it has to do with matters of the heart, not matters of the beat. It has to do with not so much the form of worship, but the heart that is given to worship. And I personally believe, and don't send me letters, I'm too old to change. I personally believe that the regulative principle, and you say, what's that? Well, the regulative principle is the principle that says that you cannot worship God in any way other than the way God commands that he be worshipped in the Scripture. Well, I agree with that, but I believe that's a lot wider than you might think. You lift up hands, that's in the Bible. You can dance, that's in the Bible. You can sing with a joyful noise, that's in the Bible. You can have tambourines. That's in the Bible. You can blow a horn. and get down. That's in the Bible, and I think that bubbles up from God's people. And I believe that there's a great movement of worship in our time that's coming from the people of God, and there was no way to stop it. I just believe that people had sung the hymns so often, and they were so old and so down and so serious that the people of God said, you know, I love God, and I want to rejoice and thank Him and worship Him. And so new music and new forms started coming up. And I'm an old guy. Those aren't particularly my forms. I like Bach. I don't like a beat. But Jesus told me to be still, that it was for Him and from Him and to Him, and I'll rejoice. So I'm learning to clap my hands. And I'm learning to get my hands higher than my belt. It's hard for these old Presbyterian pastors to do that. We were at my friend's church in Cincinnati at Bonniewell, and they're very free in their worship. And some people were waving banners, and some people were doing sort of dancing. And I really wanted to be a part of it. I could see my staff in the back of the church laughing because the old guy was trying to dance and just couldn't pull it off. But you know what God said? God said, that is so great. You don't do it well, but you do it, man. And I can see your heart, and I can see your worship, and I can see your love. All right. This is an email, and I just have time to answer this, and that's it for today. In our request to God, how specific can we get in our prayers? Do you know what I prayed about this morning? Well, I prayed about the lost of the world and stuff. And I prayed for the missionaries and stuff. And I prayed for the financial needs of Key Life, because that's always a concern for me. And I prayed for Eric in there, that when we did the broadcast, that everything would be fine, and he produces it and stuff like that. Because this goes out to a lot of people, and I want it to be right. But you know what I spent the most time on? I'll tell you, my laptop computer. It's been in the shop 4 times already, and those bozos can't get it together. You said you prayed about that. Yeah. Can you think of anything that isn't small to God? And if it concerns you, whatever it is, you take it here, because I'm a father, and I have children. I'd be concerned if they didn't come to me with everything. Hey, I gotta go, but first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.